Chief Justice of the Tennessee Supreme Court, Gary Wade, is with us today. How are you this morning?
I'm great. Thank you, Scott. Good to be here in beautiful downtown Murfreesboro.
What a neat position you're in. In 2006, I guess you were appointed to this position, but what did you do before this?
Well, it's a long story. Of course, several of the judges here, David Lowry, Ben Hall McFarland, Judge Steve Daniel, were all in law school with me at the University of Tennessee between 1970 and 1973. I returned to my hometown to enter the practice of law, and I practiced from 1973 through August of 1987. And then beyond, really, but in August of 87, I was appointed to the Court of Criminal Appeals. While I was in the law practice, I had the great fortune to serve as mayor of my hometown for 10 years, which is a real treat. And I got an advanced education in people during those years. Mayors at that time were mostly in charge of barking dogs and picking up trash on time. So I had a real experience there outside of the practice of law. But I just happened to be fortunate enough to be selected to serve in 87 to the Court of Criminal Appeals. Served there for almost 19 years. The last eight were as presiding judge of that court, which included administrative duties in addition to the judicial responsibilities. And then finally, fortunate enough to be appointed to the Supreme Court in 2006.
Now, cases from all over Tennessee go through the Court of Criminal Appeals at some point if they're questioned.
There is a right to appeal in all criminal cases. And because of the right to appeal, there's almost an obligation to appeal any kind of conviction or sentence. And, of course, it first goes through the Court of Criminal Appeals. That's an appeal by right. Everyone has the right to review by the Court of Criminal Appeals in Tennessee. And then it may go to the Tennessee Supreme Court. If it's a death penalty case, all cases ultimately come to the Supreme Court if they're capital cases. And the otherwise, we allow appeals by permission, basically to address important policy decisions in the state.
And you are at the Tennessee Supreme Court today. What kind of cases stand out to you? What have you seen over the years?
Well, we see a variety of cases. The most egregious, typically, are the capital cases, and they're heart-rending in many ways. But we also adjudicate all kinds of appeals that range from workers' compensation to a contract dispute or a tort claim.
You know, people choose careers that they love because they have a passion for them, and I'm sure you have a passion for law and helping others. But sometimes you see the not-so-pretty side of life. How do you go about, I guess, just every day thinking, well, you know, this is for the victim. This is justice for
exactly.
the victim.
Exactly. And when I was with the Court of Criminal Appeals, when we began, there was a huge number of cases and a significant backlog at that time. There are only 9 judges on the Court of Appeals, 3 in each of the grand divisions. And I can remember 1 year having to dispose of in an opinion. So it's more than just a hearing a case and rendering a decision. It has to have some reasoning with it. But I can remember being involved in 375 cases that year. And that was a real awakening for me because that's perhaps when I began to realize that you couldn't take the seriousness of the offenses home with you. And like most judges, I began to develop sort of an operating room mentality, and that is that you simply concentrate on the work and make the right calls. I've often referred to us as referees at a ball game. We like to be invisible, and we typically do the best job when there's no attention to the judge at all, and it's all towards the litigants. But it's a privilege to serve, and of course, those years when I was exclusively on the Criminal Court of Appeals and handling criminal cases, it was very challenging and very difficult. And I felt deeply on many occasions for some of the victims of the crimes.
As Chief Justice, and also when you were with the Court of Criminal Appeals, you were hearing witnesses of probably just horrid crimes. Kind of take us through that process. I mean, what goes on?
Well, the appellate practice is different than the trial practice. I always say that the trial judges today are better than they have ever been before, and they are our frontliners. They hear and see the witnesses firsthand, whereas on the Court of Criminal Appeals and the Supreme Court, we simply get the cold written word. We can listen to recordings sometimes of the testimony. But the issues on appeal are so far different from those at trial. And because of that, I think it is easier to sort of develop that operating room mentality. You simply look at the issues and determine whether the trial judge properly called the balls and the strikes.
You know, it's interesting. We've read through a lot of Court of Criminal Appeal cases and done news stories about them for cases involving Rutherford County situations. And in most cases, it does appear that the Court of Criminal Appeals affirms whatever the lower court decided previously. In other words, it seems like judges are doing an excellent job.
It does, and especially here in this community where you have great judges. Overall, the statistics indicate that somewhere between 88 and 90% of all convictions that are on appeal are either affirmed or affirmed with slight modifications. So only about 10, 12% of those have result in either a new trial, an acquittal for whatever reason, or a modification of the sentence.
It's kind of fascinating when you go back and read some of these appeal cases. One of the main things that the criminal is asking for who's been convicted is less time to serve. They're not necessarily questioning the crime they committed, but it's, you need to give me less time because you gave me the maximum.
Absolutely. And there are three components of sentencing. One is the number of years to serve for an offense and where to serve that. Two is the possibility of probation or what I call split confinement. That is a period of time in jail, again, with probation, consecutive sentencing. Sometimes more than one crime is involved. And so one of the questions is whether someone who commits a robbery and a burglary, for example, serves those sentences consecutively, one at a time, rather than concurrently, which means that they run together. So it could be a significant difference in the amount of time. There are nuances from our statutory scheme as to how sentences are imposed, and it can be very difficult work in interpreting the statutes and applying it to particular situations.
Chief Justice of the Tennessee Supreme Court, Gary Wade, is with us this morning. And one more question. You often hear people in Tennessee who probably do not follow the court system or follow stories regarding the courts very well, but you hear them say, why don't people get convicted for longer sentences? But it seems to me that in a lot of cases, people are getting near maximum sentencing.
I think that what I've seen in the last 27 years, almost in the judiciary, is that we have in Tennessee have gone from a limited space prison system now to a prison system that has a lot of beds, and so that has permitted the General Assembly to enact statutes that provide for greater sentences. And again, that is the prerogative of the legislature and not of the judiciary. And it's our job simply to impose the sentences as anticipated by the General Assembly. So, yes, I think we have fairly lengthy sentences. And unfortunately, there are many of those who have been convicted of crimes that warrant lengthy sentences. And again, I think you're very fortunate in Rutherford County to have very fair-minded judges who are mindful of the expense to the state and at the same time sensitive to the victims of the crimes as they impose sentences to individuals who warrant criminal convictions and sentences to the penitentiary.
You don't hear a whole lot about convictions for the death penalty. Is that something that does happen more often? We just don't hear about it?
Well, perhaps most of the capital cases that we have, unfortunately, come out of Shelby County. And one of the things that the Supreme Court does is monitor those individuals on death row. There are about 100 now. They're in various stages of appeals through the federal courts, which come after appeals to the federal system. We have just recently, the Attorney General for the state of Tennessee is asked to set execution dates for, I believe it's 9 different individuals, and we're going through the process of determining whether those dates should be set. There are always some unusual questions and very complex questions involved in capital cases, and we're reviewing those of late. One of the issues has been imposition of the capital punishment by injection of drugs, and the state of Tennessee has not been able to import those drugs, to acquire those drugs, and it's brought to a standstill in the last couple of years the executions that it would otherwise take place. So just recently, the Department of Corrections has gone to a one-drug protocol rather than what had previously been upheld, and that was a 3-drug protocol, because they simply can't get the drugs necessary to do the 3-drug protocol. That's a little bit complex to think about, and most people would roll their eyes at some of the details that must be addressed. But the capital cases are so very difficult. It's a moral and emotional decision with many people, and thus a fair segment of our society would like to eliminate the death penalty altogether, whereas a significant segment of the society feels passionate about retaining the death penalty on the biblical theory of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So those are philosophical questions that really the court does not have to consider. Basically, what we do again is review the statute, consider the facts, and call the balls and the strikes.
Again, our guest today, Chief Justice of the Tennessee Supreme Court, Gary Wade, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Scott. I enjoyed being here. You have a beautiful town.
Thanks a lot.